This time in Tagai Thai, we fellowship concerning a very important topic, which was the true worshippers in the New Testament. The Lord in John chapter 4 told us very clearly that a time is coming and now is, meaning to say the time in the new covenant, that the true worshipper, the real worshipper, the word true means real, the real worshipper must worship the Father in spirit and in reality. Truth in John chapter 4 means reality, because it's not just truth in general. Remember, the Lord said, I am the truth. So for us, truth is not just the right, proper doctrine in a Bible. No. Truth is Christ as the reality of everything that a Bible is talking about. For example, manna from heaven. We all know the Israelites, they ate manna from heaven. But the Lord in John 6 says that is not the true bread. Not yet. It's just a shadow, a picture. The Lord said, I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Right? So the real bread is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the true bread. Even the Lord says, I'm the true vine. Right? We know, right, what a vine is. But the Lord in John chapter 15 says, I am the true vine. In the Old Testament, the lamb as a sin offering is an animal, a lamb. Right? How do you say lamb in Tagalog? Gambing? No? Dubai? Not gambing, okay. Sorry. My Tagalog is already rusty. Huh? How do you say tuba? P-A, tupa. Oh, how come I never learned that word before? Tupa. Ah, gambing is goat. You're right. Ah, okay. Yeah, tupa. In the Old Testament, tupa is, a lamb with four legs. But when Jesus Christ came, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God. Right? The Lamb of God. So, meaning to say our Lord Jesus Christ is the reality of the Lamb. He's the true Lamb, the Lamb of God. So whatever was in the Old Testament was a picture, was a type, was a figure of Christ. But the reality is our Lord Jesus Christ. This is very clearly written in Colossians chapter 2. Everything in the Old Testament are just shadows. But the substance, the reality, is in Christ. So, in order to be a true worshipper, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 4, firstly, you have to be in spirit. If you're not in spirit, you cannot be a true worshipper, right? So, we have seen very important in the Bible the proper place. Right? The proper place is Jerusalem. You have to go to Jerusalem in the Old Testament. But then in John chapter 4, the Lord says, no more Jerusalem. That does not mean the Lord didn't want Jerusalem anymore. No, because in the New Testament, we have the New Jerusalem. In the Old Testament days, Jerusalem is a physical place in Palestine. Yes. But today, the Jerusalem for us today is the church, is a heavenly Jerusalem. No longer earthly, no longer physical, but spiritual. No longer on this earth, earthly, but it's heavenly. So it's not easy to build a church because we are not building something physical and not something earthly, but the place is something heavenly and something spiritual. So you need to be a person living and walking by the Spirit. Otherwise, it's not possible. So the true worshiper must worship now in spirit. In the New Testament time, it is the Spirit. You need to be in spirit. So if we are not in spirit, you can just come and sit here and sing some songs and pray and listen to a message and go home. I don't think that's the worship. Right? A true worship is you must bring the reality of Christ to the Father. You have to do that. Right? Now, then, of course, the second thing that you have to come to Jerusalem with is the offerings. So, in the Old Testament, you have an ox. You bring a big, big ox, or a tuba, and a gambing. And you bring a dove, a pigeon.
Huh? Kalapati.
Kalapati. Kalapati. Oh, I remember that word. Kalapati. You bring a kalapati. Right? And you bring some fine flour, and you bring some corn, and all of these. Right? But no more in the New Testament age. All of these offerings are shadows. In the New Testament, it is Christ as the reality. Right? So we, of course, the translation says in spirit and in truth. But our normal understanding of the word truth is what? If I ask you, what is the truth? Well, you say, truth is the right teaching in the Bible, right? But it's not just the right teaching in the Bible. In Greek, the word aletheia means reality, substance. If you have no substance, you may talk about coffee, this is coffee. I can tell you all about coffee, coffee beans, and you have to grind it, put it in a coffee machine, and then put some hot water, drip it, then you have coffee. It's the right teaching. I'm telling you the truth. But the reality of the coffee is in this cup. If I just talk about the coffee, you still don't have the coffee. Right? But the Lord is the reality. This is the reality of coffee. You know, we know so much. We have so much doctrine concerning Christ in the Bible. But that is not yet the truth. The Lord says, I am the truth. Meaning to say the Lord is the reality. So if you just know the knowledge, you don't have the reality, you still have nothing. Right, that's why people read the Bible, you know, in the Old Testament times. Even when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, all the Pharisees and the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, they all know the Bible, but they didn't know the reality, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was right there and they missed him, right? So, to be a true worshiper, we need the reality of Christ. And of course, if you want to know the reality of Christ, you have to be in the Spirit. You have to be a person living and walking daily by the Spirit. Otherwise, how can you experience the reality of Christ? And nobody can teach you how to walk by the Spirit. You know, for many years, I heard you do this, you pray, read the Bible in the beginning. Amen. Amen, beginning, amen, was, amen, the word, amen. They call it prayer reading. We pray read for so many years, but I see a lot of brothers and sisters, they don't know the Spirit. No, you cannot. The only person who can really teach you to live and walk by the Spirit is the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. I don't dwell in you. I'm not in you. How can I teach you? It is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was given by God and dwells in you, right? We all know the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, even Christ himself as the Spirit now dwells in you. Now, why do you need me? Who would be a better teacher, I or the Holy Spirit in you, to teach you how to live by the Spirit? Who gives you life in the Spirit, I?
No.
Who?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. Right? I didn't make you alive, did I? Did I make you alive? No, who makes you alive? The Holy Spirit. Now, who is going to teach you how to live and walk by the Spirit? You tell me, the pastor? The minister? They can just talk about the Bible. But really, to teach you, it is the work of the Holy Spirit within you. Otherwise, how are you going to walk by the Spirit? You know, Galatians chapter 5, you know the verse in Galatians 5:16, walk according or by the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the works of the flesh, right?
Amen.
You all know that verse. Then you will ask, how? How do I walk by the Spirit? No? Paul didn't say. You think Paul forgot to teach you how to walk by the Spirit? There is no way, no method, really, no method. You can read through the whole New Testament, walking by the Spirit. Some people call on the Lord. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. You know, we do that. We did that many years ago. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. My wife can testify that. 40-some years ago, 50 years ago, when I was much younger, oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, amen, hallelujah. Mary, did we do that?
Yes.
And I saw many people did that. But after so many years, they are still walking in themselves and in the flesh. Eventually, I realized it's not a method. The Bible did not tell us any method. Of course, I'm not against calling on the name of the Lord. I love to call on the name of the Lord. But to walk by the Spirit, the Lord has given you the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. John 14:16, right, tells you the Holy Spirit will lead you, will teach you all things. You will receive of the Lord and disclose them to you. Right? He will even show you concerning things to come. Right? The Holy Spirit has such a wonderful function. Right? So if you don't learn to walk according to the Holy Spirit and He will be the one teaching you, then how can you be the one walking according to the Spirit? Not possible. So, right? The only way I want to underline today to live by the Spirit is only by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Right. So, right. In order to be a true worshiper, the Lord mentioned two things, in spirit and in truth, in reality. The Spirit replaces Jerusalem. And Christ, as the truth, the reality, replaces all the offerings. Right? So you really need to see this, right? And the object of worship is the Father. The Father. I should not write it here. I will write it here. The object of worship is the Father. So the Lord did not say, I am seeking for the true worshippers. The Lord says the Father is seeking. His Father is seeking. You know, our God is triune. You all know that doctrinally. Right? So we shared and fellowship concerning the triune God. For many years, you only listened to all the triune God dispensing himself into the tripartite man, right? doctrinally. But at the very end, nobody really knows the Father. Nobody had a relationship with the Father. Look at the Lord Jesus. When he came to this earth as a man, his relationship with the Father was wonderful, intimate. It's really wonderful. I mentioned to you all that in the Gospel of John, the Lord mentioned the Father's name at least how many times? 120 times. Maybe 121. But that 121st time, the one, I wasn't so sure to be safe. I said 120 times. But maybe it's 121 times. I have to count it again. Why would the Lord mention so many times, my Father, my Father? What about your relationship to the Father? How often do you fellowship with the Father? Many times you only know, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. But our Lord Jesus will say, Father, Abba Father. Right? In Galatians chapter 4, when the Holy Spirit, when God sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart, what happens? You cry out what? Abba Father. How often do you cry out, Abba Father? How often? Only on Sunday? After the Lord's table, we sing Abba Father, and that's it. Poor Father. Poor Father. How do you say poor Father in Tagalog? Pobre. Huh? Pobre es padre. Huh? Kawawa ang padre. Kawawa. Huh?
Kawawa ama.
Kawawang amako. Nobody calls him Abba Father. Right? Romans 8 says the same thing. We have received the spirit of sonship whereby we cry out, Abba Father, Abba Father. Lorraine, how often do you cry Abba Father? I'm sure you could say Lord Jesus much more often, right? Because you need salvation, right? You need help. Lord Jesus, you all need help. But what about our relationship? You say you're a son of God. Are you a son of God?
Amen.
Who is your Father?
God.
Are you sure?
Amen.
You call on Him?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. We should. Because in the Gospel of John, the Lord says, hey, go tell my brethren, I go to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Right? You cannot say God is my brother, can you? Can you say that? No, you cannot. But you can say Jesus is my brother. Because he's the firstborn son and we are the many brethren. But you cannot say because Jesus is God, so God is my Father. You can never say that. No. You cannot say God is my brother. No, you cannot say that. But you can say God is my Father. This is very normal. This is wonderful. Right? So we really need to learn to experience the triune God in a real way. So, the Father is the object of worship. Right? The Lord says, the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Right? And then, of course, we talked about when do we come together to worship? The feasts. They're all together 7 feasts, right? Actually, the Lord's table is our feasting time. Right. There are 7 feasts altogether. The first four feasts were accomplished by Christ in his first coming. I'm going to erase this part here just to make space, okay? The feasts here, F-E-A-S-T-S, the feasts, the seven feasts, are given by God to us. You have the Passover feast, number one. Then you have the feast of the unleavened bread, number two. And you have the feast of what? First fruits. What is the feast of the first fruits about?
Resurrected life.
Christ in resurrection is the first fruits. The firstborn from among the dead is the first fruits. And 50 days later you have the Feast of Weeks, which is a Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All of these first four feasts, they were what? Already accomplished by Christ for us. That is why the Lord's table is not just the Passover, right? But also the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. How do you celebrate a feast of the unleavened bread?
Taking away all the leaven for 7 days.
For 7 days, you should. God says you should get rid of the leaven. Don't keep the leaven in you. Right? On the other hand, you also eat. You cannot say, I'm going to just eat the unleavened bread, but I want to keep my leaven in me. You cannot do that. If you want to keep the feast of the unleavened bread for 7 days, you must get rid of the leaven. Okay. Then also the Lord rose from the dead, the firstborn from the dead. It's really wonderful to swallow up the death that is in us. So when you come here, you must also celebrate a feast of the first fruits. Right. Where is it written again? The Lord is the first fruits. John Young. 1 Corinthians 15, right? Christ is our first fruits. Right. And then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What for? For the building up of the churches. So the first four feasts are accomplished by the Lord. Then you have the last three feasts, the Feast of the Trumpet, and then the Feast of Reconciliation, and then the Feast of the Tabernacles. Right. So the last three feasts are related to the Lord's second coming. The first four feasts were already accomplished by the Lord. He is our Passover. Where is it written? Christ our Passover has been slain? 1 Corinthians 5, yeah. Okay, that's good. I want to make sure the young people remember it. It's good. We have to remember, right? And then, of course, we are there celebrating the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The church must be unleavened. We must be a new lump. That's why, because we still have sin and leaven in us. That's why we need to keep the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, to get rid of the leaven that is in us. That's why the Lord's table is very important. But not just what he has accomplished. In the Lord's table, you must remember the Lord's what? Coming back, because the Lord says, you do this until I come, right? So you need to remember the last three feasts. So if you're remembering the Lord is coming, what do? You have to prepare yourself for the Lord's coming. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble when he comes, right? So we better remember the last three feasts, the Feast of what? Trumpet. Are you blowing the trumpet? The last trumpet, actually, blown or announced by God was in Revelation chapter 18. You know, the silver trumpet is to gather God's people together. Right? That's the first function of the silver trumpet. That must be in the book of Numbers, right? So you can really see it. Right? If God wanted to gather his people, then the priest must blow the trumpet, the silver trumpet. Then all of God's people will come. There are two trumpets. If only one is blown, then only the leading ones of the tribes come together. So the trumpet is to call God's people to come together. Because God's people must be a people who loves to come together, don't you? Why did you come so far away from Stuttgart here? I hope not just for vacation, no. Right? No. Right? We come to gather with the saints together. This is really wonderful. But then what happened to God's people today? They were scattered all over in all denominations and divisions, and everywhere you go there, I go here, and everybody goes to their own place. So in the book of Revelation, the Lord sounded a trumpet, come out of Babylon, my people. Come out of her, my people. God is blowing the trumpet. Are we blowing the trumpet? We better be. Because God's people were all scattered. Come out of her, my people. Why? So that you will not be partakers of her sins. And then you will suffer the plagues. Right? So today we need to blow the trumpet. This is your trumpet. Every one of us have a trumpet. I've been blowing the trumpet for many years already, right, Frank? Yeah. This is a wonderful trumpet. If you meet your friends there, your dad, your relatives, you should blow your trumpet, telling them, come out of her, of Babylon, my people. Come out of all the divisions and denominations to gather yourself into one. This is the feast of the trumpet. We need to see. Of course, we don't have a silver trumpet as in the days of the Old Testament. Otherwise, you know, you all have to carry a trumpet. Meaning to say, we have to call out God's people out of different denominations, divisions, to come back to Jerusalem to meet as one. Because, the church is only one. There is only one body, right? One spirit. We only have one Lord and one God and Father. So God's people should not be divided. No, this is not good. Right. Division in the Bible is never a good thing. It's always a sign of God's judgment because we don't listen to him. That's why we are divided today. But anyway, everyone has his own choice. You can do whatever you like. But in the church life, we do what God tells us to do. Right? We have no liberty to do what we like. Right. So, you have this feast, and then the last feast, second to the last feast, is the Feast of Reconciliation, the Feast of Atonement. Because the Lord is coming soon, you better make peace with him. Like in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, as an ambassador of Christ, I admonish you all, be reconciled to God. Because we have done so many things, even as a Christian, against God. Don't think that there is no judgment seat for us. We do have, for us Christians, a judgment seat. Paul says, we all, including him, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So, the Lord is coming soon. Terrence, suppose the Lord comes tomorrow. Suppose, okay, it's not going to be so fast, but suppose he comes tomorrow. Are you ready to meet him? No. So what are you going to do? What if he comes next week? Or, oh, what if he comes next year? And you're not ready to meet him. What's going to happen to you? You'll be in trouble. To say the least, because you'll be thrown into outer darkness. There'll be gnashing and weeping, gnashing of teeth, weeping. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord said, if a servant knew the will of the Lord and did not do it, he will get more slashes than the servant who didn't do it because he didn't know. But both will get slashes. But the one who knew and did not do it, he's going to get more. Don't think we Christians, I'm already saved, nothing will happen to me. Saved from eternal damnation, yes. But what about from the judgment seat of Christ? You know, nobody will tell you that in the denominations. Nobody's going to tell you that because they don't believe that. They believe, after you're saved, you all go to heaven, right? But nobody tells you, hey, no. When the Lord comes back, we will all, right? You're not an exception. We, all of us, I'm not an exception either. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Grace, you're no exception. Every one of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What are you going to do? You don't believe? Let's read. Let us read. Okay, what about let's read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let us read. It's always good to read a Bible. Otherwise, you might think it's from me. No, it's not from me. Verse 10, right? Right. Somebody read it in New King James here. Johan?
For we must all appear before the judgment.
No, just a few of us. You must all appear.
No, all. We all.
No, you all.
No, we all.
You all. We? You mean to say Paul include himself?
Yes.
Paul also? Are you sure?
I am sure.
What about Peter? Maybe Paul, okay, but not Peter. How about that?
No,
all. We. Some are excluded. What does it say?
We must all appear.
We must all appear. No exception. You think you're an exception? No. No one is an exception. We must all appear before what?
The judgment seat of Christ.
The judgment seat of Christ, my goodness. Are you afraid? You better be. You better be. You know, I have not known of anyone who likes to appear before the judge. Except maybe in the Philippines, you can lagay, right? Lagay. But you sing before the judgment seat of Christ, you can lagay, huh? You cannot do that before the judgment seat of Christ. Right? Throw away your lagay habit. And what did it say?
That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
Goodness. How about that? What have you done with your body? What do you do every day? You think you're a Christian, you're safe, no more judgment, right? No more judgment. Paul says there is judgment. Right? So, since we know, verse 11.
Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord.
The what?
Terror.
The love of the Lord. Knowing, therefore, the love of the Lord.
No.
You have the wrong Bible.
The right Bible.
You have the right Bible. What did he say there?
The terror of the Lord.
The terror? You sure that the Lord? With the Lord there's terror? No, just love, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You only know John 3:16, but you don't know 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing the terror of the Lord. How about that? Ano bang mas maganda? Love or terror?
Love.
Of course, love. Everybody wants the love, but nobody wants the terror. But hey, you better know the terror of the Lord. Right. So, may the Lord have mercy. Right. May the Lord have mercy. Right. Even in Romans chapter 14, right, you have, Paul says, we all have to give an account of our lives before the judgment seat of God. You need to give an account. So you better keep a good accounting of your life. I'm not kidding. You know, when the Lord comes, he'll... you know why you have a good mind? You know why you have a good mind? Because the Lord has already put a built-in accounting book in your mind. Whatever you do is recorded there already. Amen. You cannot tell the Lord, Lord, I did not do this. I didn't do that. Oh, I didn't say, oh, Lord, I forgot. The Lord said, you forgot? Let me replay. Let me replay. Then you're going to see everything that you did. All of a sudden, you'll be watching a movie about yourself, made by yourself. You are the director, and you're the actor, and you're... you're the audience as well. You have no escape. No, you're not going to escape. So, there is a feast of reconciliation. It's wonderful. At the very end, the sixth feast is the feast of atonement, a feast of reconciliation. Before the Lord comes back, you better clear up everything with him.
Amen.
Repent. Confess to the Lord. Tell the Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Don't hide it. It's foolishness to hide things from God because he knows everything anyway. Yes, but only he can erase it, not you. I'll show you Oh, I'm sorry, brothers. Thank you. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. I'll show you how he's going to erase it and how you can help to erase it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. Okay. That's a very important question, Frank. Now, let's ask... who's going to help us? How about you? You help us. You have it there.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light,
mm-hmm.
we have fellowship with one another.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
From?
From all sin.
Not just some?
All sin.
You sure all?
Yeah.
You believe that?
Yeah.
But there are some sins that are more terrible.
It says all.
It says all. It says all. You better believe it. Okay, yes. Continue.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
That's right.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all.
Some.
All.
Some.
All.
You sure it's all? Yeah. Oh, sigurado ba? Sigurado. Okay, sige. Okay.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness. Yeah. Some more?
Yeah. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
His word is not in us. Not meaning to say, his word will have no place in you. Not in you. Thank you. This is the way. Number one is to walk in the light, because God is light. That's why don't hide anything from Him, because He knows everything. You cannot hide anything from Him. You might as well confess. But why do you have to walk in the light? Because many times you don't know that you're wrong. You don't know. There are things you know, but there are things you don't know. So you have to be in the light, because if you're in darkness, you don't see, you don't realize you were wrong. But if you're in the light, you will see that you're wrong. So many Christians, they don't know they're wrong. Look at those in the Roman Catholic Church. They thought they are right, but they're wrong. But they're wrong. But they still believe they are right. Why? I know so many people, LSM, they thought they are right. They still think they are right, but sorry, they are wrong. Many things in my life, I thought I was right until the light of the Lord shines in me. Then I realized I was wrong. Sorry, Lord, I was wrong. You have to be in the light. If you're not in the light and you're in darkness, you will not know that you have sin in you. You do not know this is leaven, and that's not right. And if you don't know, then there's no way for the Lord to cleanse you. But if you are in the light and you walk according to the light, then it says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will what? Cleanse you. Wash them all away. Not just forgiving, but cleansing. There's a difference between forgive and cleansing. Sometimes if you do something wrong, you offend me, right? I say, okay, I forgive you. But every time I see Yona, I still remember he offended me. I forgave him already, right? No, but I couldn't forget. To forgive is one thing, but to forget, and how is it the Lord can forget? He cleanses you. So that at the end, you don't see any more spot. It's very clean. If the enemy comes and says, you, Yona, you remember what you have done? You should tell the devil, where? I don't see it. What are you talking about? No, it's all clean. Walana. Walana. Disappeared. Walana. Right? You can tell the enemy, and you know, this is the way God is going to erase it until there's no more trace left. In the new covenant in Hebrews chapter 8, I believe, it says, and their sins will I remember no more. This is really wonderful. But there is a but. You have to confess your sins. Once you know and you see I was wrong, you should tell the Lord, Lord, I confess my sins to you. Forgive me. I was wrong. Cleanse me. You have to confess. But if you insist you're not wrong, then you're hopeless. Don't argue with God. It's not good to argue with God. If you're wrong, tell God, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Even in the past sins. Right? So, praise the Lord. Right? We have such a wonderful God who is willing to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now tell me, how many unrighteousnesses, deeds, have we all done? It's even countless, right? But John said he will forgive us and cleanse us from all. Remember the word all, Frank. Praise God, right? It is really wonderful. Right? We all need to learn to take God's word at its face value. He will not lie to you. Right? So learn to say, I'm wrong, Father. Right? Forgive me. Cleanse me. Take away all my unrighteousness. Now, why is it in the last three feasts you have no more in the trumpet, the tea, yeah, trumpet, and then reconciliation or atonement, right? Right, there atonement, right? Why is there now a feast of the atonement? Because God is giving all of us a chance to reconcile to Him. 主要来了, 你还没跟他们 reconcile, then you're going to be in trouble. The Lord is coming soon, and you don't want to reconcile to Him? That's foolishness. That's not wise. No. So learn to reconcile with God. Right? Then you have what feast? The Feast of Tabernacle, right? I better write it down here. Tabernacle, I just read the tabernacles, right? And to make the long story short, you have to learn to dwell in Nipahat. Booths, tents. What is a tent? A tent is a temporary dwelling, right? Right. And the Lord told them that you should not remember that you were in Egypt before and I took you out of Egypt. And during the wilderness, do you think they built palaces in the wilderness? No, they don't. Temporary dwelling, like Abraham, in tent. Because, hey, anytime you can move. But in your home, to move. When the Lord comes, you will say, but Lord, what about my house? What about my business? Oh, I got cars. What about my cars? What about my this? What about my that? The Lord will say, okay, you better stay and take care of them. You can stay. That's why the Lord says, remember Lot's wife. You know Lot's wife, right? You know who Lot is, right? You know who his wife was, right? His wife could not forget Sodom, and she turned back and became a pillar of salt. Right? So the Lord is coming back soon. You better learn to let go of things. You will have to let go of it anyway. Anyone who dies will have to let go. Right? Isn't it? You cannot take anything with you. Can you take your electric car with you, your Tesla, or whatever you call it? I don't know what car. Germany, I don't know what cars your dad has. I don't know. Porsche, you think your dad can take it with him? No. You cannot take anything with you. So you need to practice already to let go. Otherwise, those things will pull you down. Your heart must be free. And that is keeping the feast of the tabernacle. Because the millennial kingdom is coming. I don't mean that you should not do your business anymore, but do not let your business pull down your heart. so once so often you have to learn to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle, build a Nipa hut outside somewhere and sleep there. For 7 days, how about that? Can you do that? Put up a tent in your garden. How about that? No pillow, just sleep on the, what do you call those? You roll up and... Baning, yeah. Baning? I better stay here in the Philippines and brush up my Tagalog. Huh? How about that? Do you practice? Get rid of things that is in your heart. Well, otherwise, why are you coming here? Just to eat and drink and go home and forget about it? Are you keeping the feasts? And how many feasts are you keeping? How about a feast of the unleavened bread to get rid of all the malice, and wickedness, and sins, and pride, and greed, and religious leaven? Because that's the way to keep the feast. How many days?
7.
Exactly 1 week. So that the next day, next week, you come again and there's another 7 days. You keep the feast every week. Do you like to keep that feast? We have to. Right? So learn this. Do not just learn doctrine. We need the reality. Remember, we are for the reality. We are not for the doctrine. Doctrine is very easy to learn. But to really get rid of the leaven in you, I don't think it is easy. Not easy. No, it's not easy. But you need practice. That's why you're eating the unleavened bread. Because by eating the unleavened bread, the Lord will strengthen you to get rid of the leaven. Right? Learn. Tell the Lord, Lord, get rid of that in my heart. How many times do you learn to say, Lord, I don't want that in my heart. I don't want this sin in my heart. No, get rid of that thought in my mind. Right? Well, you have to get rid of the leaven. That's the way to keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Right? So I have to tell the Lord, Lord, get rid of that in me. I don't want that. Are you a garbage can? You want to keep your garbage in you all the time? What do you do with your garbage in your home? You keep it? You throw it away, right? I know your house. You even know how to throw different kind of garbage away. Well, you know, they are very scientific in their home, right? One is for recycle. One is for fertilizer. One is dirt. And one is this. How about the leaven in you? Do you categorize the leaven? Religious leaven. Leaven of hypocrisy. Get out. Sin. Get out. How about that? Malice and wickedness, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, get rid of all the leaven. You practicing that? If not, you're not keeping the feast. Not simple, isn't it? But hey, what choice do you have? Right? So we are keeping the feast. The feasts are what God has given to us for us to enjoy. Now, in our worship to the Father, we have the offerings that you need to prepare, the offerings here. You need to prepare the offerings to offer up to God for His satisfaction. That's why we change that hymn there. Lord, thou art all the offerings, not prepared by God for us. No, because the offerings are for God. The feasts are for you, but the offerings are for God. The feasts are prepared by God for you, for all of us to enjoy. That's why we have this wonderful table to enjoy. But now, after the enjoyment, we must labor on this wonderful Christ day by day to experience him as the offerings to worship the Father. You must bring the offerings to worship the Father. You cannot come empty-handed. No, sorry. That's what God says. Right? Read. We have the verses there. No one can come empty-handed to. You have to prepare a spiritual sacrifice. It's not to bring the money. No, the Lord does not need the money. What is he going to use the money for? Buy a Mercedes Benz or what? He doesn't need, but he needs the Christ that you have labored under. Every one of us. And Leviticus chapters 1 to 7 shows us all the offerings so that you will know what to prepare to bring to the Father. You have the burnt offering, you have the meal offering, you have the peace offering, you have sin offering, you have trespass offering. You have all of these offerings, right? Don't come with a doctrine to God. God does not need your doctrine. Yeah. Do you think God appreciates your message? No. This Bible is given to him by us. It's his word. You know, I have seen people, what is the functioning of the priesthood? I read one sentence, you read another sentence, you read this and I read that. You think the Father needs to listen to my reading? Okay, Father, I'm going to read you 1 John. You think God needs to listen to your message? I have to listen to him, not he to me. So, there are 5 major offerings. The first offering is the burnt offering, signifies that when Christ was on this earth, he lived a life that is fully for the Father's will. To do the Father's will, that's his living. His life was all the time well-pleasing to the Father. How about your life? Obedient all the time to the Father? Always doing the things that are well-pleasing to him? Always, no? Sometimes only. How many times? How many times? But the Lord did not say, I sometimes do what is well-pleasing to the Father. The Lord says, I always do the things that are well-pleasing to the Father. In the Gospel of Luke, when the Lord Jesus was 12 years old, what was he doing? Playing video games? Can you imagine the Lord Jesus? At the age of 12, the Lord is going. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus doing that? What was he doing? He was talking to the chief priests and the elders there in the temple, talking about the things of God. And the mother Mary there was, oh, we've been looking for you. He says, woman. He didn't say, mom. Don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? He was 12. How old are you? You're 25, 26. Whose business are you doing? Okay, how about you? How old are you?
Secret.
Secret. Okay, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, Vladimir Bok, no? Your hair is not a secret. Your age is a secret, but your hair reveal your secret. Whose business are you doing? Whose business? What is the main thing in your heart? Yeah. Oh, this is Christ as our burnt offering. Because our life is a fallen human life and we are selfish. We do everything for ourselves and once in a while we do some good works. Okay, you think that good works will really change the balance? No, it will not. Right. We need to learn to now labor in Christ and take him as one who lived a life that is fully for the Father. Because when God created man, he created man to be for God's purpose. But unfortunately, after man fell, man is for themselves. Everyone for themselves. You do this and you do that for yourself. You're for your business, you're for your family, you're for yourself, you're for your enjoyment. Everything is for yourself. There's only one person who lived 100% for God. Now, you and I need to take him. Lord, I want to experience you as the burnt offering, not for myself, but so that I can prepare an offering for the Father, to satisfy the Father. But who is going to prepare that offering? You and me and all of us. How do you prepare that offering? By taking Christ as such a life. In your daily living, you have a lot of choices. You may be doing this and you may be doing that, and the Lord will tell you that's not for the Father. Drop it for now. Come, spend some time with me. Right? The Lord will tell you, stop. Do this instead. How about that? Now let me ask you, Johan, you're going to help me, right? Suppose you're going to meet the president, purchasing manager of Shangri-La. Suppose. And you have an appointment at 10 o'clock in the morning. Will you sleep until 10:30? No. You sure? No?
No.
When will you get up?
7 o'clock.
Why? You have to do a lot of preparation. Catalog, and samples. No, today? Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, you're going to prepare this and prepare that. Wow, you're going to. And then you'll be waiting for him instead of him waiting for you, right?
Right.
Okay. What about the Lord's Day? What time is the meeting here?
9:30.
Huh? 9:30. Oh, it's just 9 o'clock. I'm still very tired. I'm going to sleep. Wake me up at 9:15, okay? How about that? Will you do that? Now, who is more important person? Who is a more important person? The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our wonderful Savior, the head over all things to the church, Christ, our life. Wow, is he more important than the purchasing manager of? Oh no, you're working for your client from I don't know who is your biggest client. Another secret, right? Another secret. You know, we all have a lot of secrets. Yeah. Would you let him wait? What? No? Why would you let our wonderful God, whom we are worshiping, wait for you? Who should be waiting for whom? Now, when you come to worship him, are you prepared to worship him? Or you just come empty-handed? This is a problem. Right? During the week, we have 7 days to prepare for the worship, to worship our God and Father on the Lord's Day. Coming to the feast, you have an appointment with him to keep the feast. Keep the feast. Now, in coming to the feast, there's something for you on this table. That's definitely for you. But what about us bringing the offerings now? After feasting, we bring the offering to offer up to the Father to worship him. You know, no one has this concept in their mind. No one. You think just, oh, thank you, Father, for your son, and that's already worship. The Father will say, yeah, well, you're welcome. But what do you do with him? How come you're not enjoying him? And how come if you're enjoying him, you have nothing to bring back to me? What about my offerings? What about the meal offering? What about enjoying the fine, wonderful humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ to replace your humanity? Well, these are the offerings that the Father really wants for the true worship. Unless you don't care, then, okay, you know, that's fine. Because God, our Father, will never force anyone to do that. He's not like any politician in this world or anybody. You must worship me. No, no. But if you do, then voluntarily, of your own free will, because you love him, and because, of course, he is God, you like to prepare an offering to satisfy him. Or you don't care. You do. Then learn how to prepare. In your daily life, you should learn to grab. There are many opportunities, actually. Right? Getting up to have morning watch, for example. Are you not willing to spend the time with the Father? And with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, John said, our fellowship is with the Father. And there's an end with his Son, Jesus Christ. How good it is. How much do you spend time with him? Right. So it's not a, you must, no, nobody must do anything. No must. But you do it from your heart. Right. It's no good to force people. To, morning watch. Did you have your morning watch this morning? Oh, my goodness. So are you doing it because I'm checking, or are you doing it because you love the Father? Right? Or do you have a checking list? When you come here every Sunday, morning watch? No? No. How about you? Check morning watch? Just like roll calling, right? No, we don't need that. We don't need that. Right. But we do need a heart to love him. To be just like the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a life that is well-pleasing to the Father. That is the burnt offering. So if you have such a wonderful experience, write it down. Write it down. Right? One young brother in Fountain Valley had written an app. It's called The Offering, to bring the offering. So you have burnt offering, you have meal offering, you have peace offering, etc. Right? And then you see what offerings you have experienced during the week, so that when we come to the feast, everyone would choose the best of their experience and bring it to the Father. And it's not too long because you wrote it down. The good thing about writing down what you have truly experienced is, number one, you don't exaggerate, okay? Don't exaggerate. The Father knows if you're exaggerating. Don't exaggerate. It's just 1 inch, you make it 1 foot. Oh, that's not good. Don't exaggerate. And number two, you will not share about irrelevant matters, so you make your time very short. And number three, the good thing about writing it down, you won't forget what is important. So you write down and time yourself to about 2 minutes, maybe. You don't have to share it so long. As long as you have the reality to back up what you're talking about. Then everyone, one after another, after the Lord's table, instead of just singing a song to worship the Father was, how come I always listen to the same song? Right? Yeah. And, hey, I think the angels could sing better. What the Father wants from us is not a song, but the offering. My, in Fountain Valley, the saints are learning one after another to bring their offerings to the Father. It was wonderful. I believe the Father is really happy. And the saints are diligent to labor every week. Right? So you need to learn this. Right? How about peace offering? To have peace with God. And to have peace with one another. Right? Yeah, you have many, many opportunities at work, right, to enjoy Christ as our peace within, at home, right? At work, everywhere, husband and wife, and among friends, and everywhere, we have so many opportunities to have peace. Right? So grab hold of the opportunities, enjoy the Lord as our peace offering. And then as our sin offering. You know, we didn't have a chance yet to fully get into the matter of the sin offering. The sin offering is to free us. There are two offerings there. One is sin offering. One is trespass offering. The sin offering is to liberate you from the law of sin and death, so that sin will have no more dominion over you, as in Romans chapter 6, that you can say, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. That is sin offering. Right? It's not just for forgiveness of your sins. It's not just for cleansing. No, that is a trespass offering. But a sin offering is to deal with the very root, the element of sin that is indwelling you in Romans 7. To make you free, learn, as the Lord Jesus said to Peter, because Peter was utilizing, Satan was utilizing Peter, the Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. You should learn to say that to the devil. Get you behind me. Get lost. I'm going to send you to the bottomless pit. Are you afraid? No. Because the Lord has set us free. Right. Romans 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. Sin and death shall have no more dominion. God's work of salvation through Christ Jesus is very complete. Otherwise, you say, Lord, forgive me, tomorrow you do it again. And next week you do it again. And you do it again and again and again and again. You think that's the salvation the Lord has accomplished for you? No. No. Definitely not. Right? So you should experience being freed. Just like what Colossians chapter 3 says, since you have died together with Christ, now you're free. You seek the things that are above, where Christ is. This is the sin offering, which is very important for all of us. Right? And you have to experience that being freed, overcoming sin and death and temptation, right? Instead of giving in, right? You have the strength to overcome. Right? And that is a sin offering. And we all need to prepare such sin offering. And then come to the Father and you tell the Father, Father, it works. Praise God. I have a sin offering to offer it to you. Ah, oh, the Father was wonderful. Wow, it really worked in him. I can see that. Isn't it wonderful? That's how we worship the Father. And then the trespass offering. Because we still are prone to sin and we've committed trespasses, right? But remember 1 John chapter 1. Right? You need to be in the light. You will realize, my, I have done wrong. Forgive me, Father. Cleanse me. And now the result of such cleansing is righteousness, peace, and holiness, sanctification. That is the result of the sin offering. Yes, to make you holy, to make you righteous. Right? And even, like Paul says, he was made sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God. This is really wonderful. Not just forgiveness and that's it. Not just cleansing and that's it. Right. But to be righteous and holy, right, and even to be constituted as the righteousness of God. My, this is really wonderful. The Lord's work is so complete. But if you're not laboring on Christ and exercise to experience it day by day, then you'll have nothing to bring. Now, on one hand, this offering is the worship to the Father. Let me write it down here, right? This is our worship. This is our worship to the Father. Right? And this is the enjoyment for us, right? This is the enjoyment for us here. Right? It's not good if it's only a one-way street. So all the time coming down, but nothing going up, that's not good. Okay, right. The Lord is the reality of all this feast that he has fulfilled for our enjoyment. And now we must enjoy it, labor it, experience it, living it, and prepare us all of the offerings to offer up to the Father. And now let us read again 1 Peter chapter 2. Let us read 1 Peter chapter 2. Ah, my Bible is falling apart. Verse 5 again. We'll read it again. Right. Amen. Okay, 4 and 5. Johan, please, yeah.
coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood.
A holy priesthood, what are they doing?
Offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God
through Jesus Christ. This will make us a holy priesthood. Then we will be a holy priesthood. A priest is not a preacher, but a priest, the main work of the priest is to offer up the spiritual sacrifices. So what are we offering up? Next week, Grace. No, I shouldn't be doing that. I'm not here to pressure anybody, but I want to let you know how to worship the Father in spirit and in reality. And it's up to you whether you want to do it or not. If you want to do it, beginning next week, well, now from now until the next Lord's Day, you have a lot of time to prepare. Right? Don't make it long so that many saints can offer up their sacrifices to the Father. Make it short and to the point. Right. Learn. It'll take time. It does not matter. Because learning always takes time. Practice, labor, experience, right? Ask the Lord, Lord, give me more and more experience. Open my eyes. Reveal this to me. I want to be a true worshiper. Tell the Father that. Right? So on one hand, this kind of worship is well-pleasing to the Father. But believe me, on the other hand, it's going to change your life. You will really grow in life because Christ becomes your reality in your daily living. And eventually, you will be part of the first fruits in Revelation chapter 14. First, Christ is the first fruit here. But when we are preparing all of these at the end, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will become the first fruits for the enjoyment of the Father. This is a way. This is God's wisdom. Learn this. Practice, okay? Don't give up. Don't say it's too hard. No, nothing is easy. Why should it be easy, right? Is there any easy thing? No. Well, nothing is easy. Spiritually, the same thing. Learn and practice and experience. Okay?